Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at The Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at The Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please, and find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio, starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast. Today is the 29th?
30th.
30th of September. It's October 1st, basically.
Tomorrow's October. The year is
coming to, according to Nye, it's February. It's 2022 already.
It is 2022.
It is. I started Christmas shopping.
People are already planning 2022. It's 2022 already. Year over.
It's over.
This year went really fast.
This year did go by quick, though.
It went really fast, but it also has been a very, like, it just occurred to me yesterday that Biden just got inaugurated this year.
Yeah, a lot has happened. Eight months ago.
Like a long time ago.
Seven, 8 months ago. Yeah, something like that.
Well, September has somewhere to be because she just flew away.
I think wherever August went, they called September like, "Are you coming or not?"
She was like, "Bet, I'm coming through. Like, let me pack my shit. I'm coming."
Yeah, on the way.
Yeah, it's crazy. Bruh, I don't know where you. I think he's in Atlanta now. Somewhere. He's not, he might pop in, he might not. We'll see. He's been very busy with work and whatnot. So I think he's going to try to pop in. But, you know, if he doesn't, it's all love. We'll catch up to him at some point. I wanted to jump in real quick and talk about Squid Game.
Did you watch it?
I'm up to episode 5, so I'm not finished with the series yet. But I'm into it. It's dope. It's super dope.
It's on my list.
Yeah, it's very. I don't want to say typical, but that's not a good word. But it's kind of like a lot of the Korean series, and that it's very kind of quirky. But then it'll turn like wild, violent.
It's
like,
so gruesome.
Yeah, it's gruesome. And they do great special effects. Like that shit looks real. Like when they kill somebody. That shit like they really got shot.
Like, it took me a minute to figure out if I was going to watch it straight through, to be honest with you. But even as gruesome as it is, and be very clear, it's like mad people dying every episode because that's the game. There also is like character arc and shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's really...
It's a compelling story.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, okay, yeah.
But see, the thing about during the height of the pandemic, I remember, you know, talking about, like, I was watching a lot of Korean TV shows and films, and this is how all of them are. I mean, they're not all violent like this, but they all kind of like start, and you kind of don't really know what's going on, but something compels you to keep watching, and then you know, these kind of twists and turns will happen. The writing and I sound like a racist by saying the Koreans, but like. The writing in their stuff is excellent. Like, they really take time, like you said, to develop characters, to give you backstory, to understand motivations, why and this one does that. And the people won't end up being what thought they were. Like, oh, okay, this dude's an asshole, but, like, I kind of see why he or she is like this or so on. And that this is the thing about...
You haven't even gotten to the biggest twists.
I'm sure.
There's like three really big ones.
I'm sure. And this other thing about the Korean films, you're not going to figure the twists out. So don't try to figure them out. You're never going to see it coming, whatever's going to twist. So just kind of enjoy the ride. It's very, that being said, it's very interesting to me in a couple levels that, because again, I've watched several of these type of shows and movies. To me, this isn't the best one. There's others that are actually better, but for whatever reason, didn't get this kind of organic push that this one has had. This is a really good one.
It's got a lot of word of mouth.
But there's others. There's others that are actually better. So far. I think part of it is.
I think part of it is the fact that Squid Game is an overdub. Whereas a lot of them are...
No, but they all are. The ones I watch are overdubbed too.
No, not all of them are, because even when you think about the what's the movie that won the Oscar?
I forget. The one about the rich and the poor.
Yeah, that was subtitles. Okay. That wasn't an overdub.
But the ones I've been watching on Netflix are mostly overdub. They don't, okay. There's a couple that you have to read, but most of them are overdub. But it's,
and
again,
this is a good overdub, too, because I usually...
It's good. It's good. You can't even really kind of tell.
So it just makes it easier for people, I think. But also, it's just... Like you said, it usually is wild, but this premise is so straightforward, even though it's crazy. It's like, it's a game where, you know, you're in it to win a lot of money, but if you lose the game, you die. Like,
yeah.
That's a very, you don't have to pay too much attention and know what the fuck is going on. You know what I'm saying?
So it ain't no like, oh, well, we're going to give you another chance. It's like, nah, B, like, you lost, pow. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's over. Yeah. On to the next. But again, I don't want to, I'm in no way disparaging the, again, I haven't finished the series, so, but from what I've seen so far, it's great. Like, I'm not shitting on it at all. Yeah. I'm going to finish it. I'm compelled to watch it. But it's kind of like interesting how this has turned to, I saw, I forget his name now, but the head of Netflix, he said, this is on track to be the biggest Netflix show ever.
I'm guessing that's globally.
Yeah, across the board, the biggest show ever, like bigger than, you know, Black Box or whatever else popped up. So this is very interesting, Bird Box, rather. It's very interesting to see a Korean film escalate to this level. Because, again, they're usually more of a niche kind of thing. It's not like everybody watches the Korean movies, even though Netflix has done a lot of investing because they have a massive catalog of them. But it's just interesting how this is blown up. It's become like this just phenomenon, you know, and getting bigger because everybody's talking about it on social media, blah, blah, blah. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. So, you know, peace to them. I'm definitely going to finish Squid Game because it's good. R. Kelly, done.
Bounce, 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 bounce,
bounce,
bounce.
That nigga
out of here.
But still has to go to, like, what is
Illinois,
it, Montana?
And Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And Illinois.
He has the face. That nigga is out of here. Yeah. Good motherfucker. And so, you know what? You know what really does it for me? They had to get him, like, mob style. Like, bring him up on fucking RICO charges and shit. To get them where they have to finally try to get mafia people, and him trying to be so goddamn smart and ingenious by moving his conquest to Georgia, where the legal age of consent is only 16, is what got him pinched ultimately.
Yeah.
For sex trafficking. So good for his ass. And my thing is, because of course, niggas gonna nig, and it's, you know, people are doing the why can't we give him another chance thing as though this is the second or even just the third time that we know of this pattern of behavior. Like, he didn't
have a full ass trial.
He already walked on 14 counts. You know what I'm saying? Like 15 years ago, and he turned it up. So it's like, what do you, at this point in 2021, if any part of you is trying to be any sort of R. Kelly apologist, I have to assume that you're a sexual predator and you just don't want to out your own shit. Like, I have to, because I do not understand how.
That's legit.
And in 2021, this is, because then people be like, well, Elvis should have gone to jail. No. R. Kelly is not going to jail for being married to Aaliyah. That wasn't even an issue for him. That didn't even hurt no sales. Like, 12 Play wasn't even out yet. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that fuck Chuck D for making that comparison.
Huh?
By the way, fuck Chuck D for making that comparison.
No, so Chuck, and I just done stepped all over Jeff. I'm sorry, Jeff. Chuck did not surprise me, but the thing about Chuck that I'm really tired of is, like, Chuck will say some really wrong shit, but he'll phrase it in a way that he doesn't commit to the wrongness of it. So what Chuck does is he says, you know, abused as a child, you know, Ike Turner did time and he came out a better man for it. So did, I think he said, Rick James. And we're going to act like we're gonna act like Rick James did not later in life go back to jail for literally kidnapping and like tying somebody up in a motherfucking basement. But anyway,
with a crack pipe,
right? So you know, so the Rick James, you know, how
didn't
much
Ike Turner like kill a guy or something?
I don't
probably.
Doug was talking about.
What are we talking
and it was
about?
Like, and it was like at the very and he. I think he was talking about the time that Ike did like near the end of his life, and also and it was like so did Rick James, and you know how much time should R. Kelly serve, and you know does the USA system allow for a man to turn his life around? And the thing about that, the problem with that is aside from what I just said, which is like if you don't know what it is by now. I'm looking at you sideways, is that Kells has never been remorseful. He has never offered apology. He has never asked for forgiveness. In fact, he feels like he's being persecuted. He doesn't see what he's done wrong. Still, he feels like he should be able to do whatever the fuck he wants to do. And that's the problem. Like, I mean, the whole shit is the problem, but that is why can't we give him another chance? Like, it does not work because this nigga feels like he's entitled to all of this, right?
Yeah.
Kells has never been like, I'm so sorry to the families. You know, God is working on me.
Robert's not built like that. He's not going to do that. That's not who he is. I mean, it's not, and I'm not saying it to make an excuse for him.
No, it's just
that's not who he is. He's not going to do that. I mean, for me, obviously, it's a little different because of, you know, working with him, you know, it's ages ago now. But, I mean, and he deserves, you know, to go to jail and everything. But I have a little hint of sadness along, again, not standing up for him or anything, but I have a little hint of sadness just because I know how talented he is.
Oh, no, I have that, and too, because
for the talented to be... Yeah, but if for that talent, that level of talent to be snuffed out and now never heard from again, just from a musical standpoint, I mean, again, his catalog is vast, and he left tons of music behind. Even though now it's a sin to listen to anything from him, but just to know what he could have done, the kind of records he was making that were literally like changing the world, like changing people's lives. Like, I Believe I Can Fly, World's Greatest. Right. I Wish, like he was really touching people's lives. You know, You Saved Me, so on. So it's also a hint of status again because of, you know, I had a bit of a personal relationship with him, and now that he's gone, it's like, damn. You know, like,
but even with that, Jeffrey, part of the reason somebody mentioned this, and I was like, you're absolutely right, because there's also the conversation of would R. Kelly be in this position right now if he had still been putting up hits? But the reality is, part of the reason that his output has declined is because all of his energy and resources was going to maintaining this system of women. So like he put this above his art. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I just wonder, I was talking to, obviously I won't say their name, but I was talking to a fellow employee of Jive a couple days ago. And I was like, man, like what is in this dude's hard drives that we haven't heard? Like, I'm telling you, this guy got 10 number one records sitting in a hard drive somewhere. I know he does, because I know the level of nigga he is as far as making those records. But
you know, when you said that, my head immediately went to child porn before music.
Oh, well, yeah. You know what? There's probably 400 hard drives of that, too. Right. So, again, I don't want to I don't want anybody to, you know, misconstrue that I'm saying this and like on behalf of Robert or on defense of Robert. I mean,
No, we hear you.
I'm just saying,
it is a great loss to the art world.
It's a great loss to the art world. Like, that's what I'm saying.
Like Basquiat dying in his 20s.
Warhol dying
that we're missing out on.
Andy Warhol dying early and stuff like that. It's like that.
But I do think what you're saying is important, Jeffrey, because one of the things that I think we need to make note of, because this is the R. Kelly is a first for music. We have never had, like, I don't remember a label ever actually publicly dropping an artist because of their personal lives and their behavior. I don't remember, you know, streaming services. I mean, maybe like, you know, country radio dropped this one kid for saying nigga, but he's fine. He's back. Like
he's bigger.
He's bigger now.
Yeah, his sales went up after that.
Yeah, so this and the fact that, you know, like by the time a Phil Spector went away, Phil had already done it, you know, Phil was
70 something years old.
Right. Yeah, so it's like, you know, from the business perspective and from a historical perspective, the thing about R. Kelly is, you know, he's beyond redemption as a person and as a man, but his work is too prolific. We can't erase. Like, this is why I hate the phrase canceling, because we can't erase his contribution to music, right? We can't act like the catalog doesn't exist, even if we don't listen to it, because I still don't want to hear it, because I can't anymore. Like,
so I want to bring that up. So somebody's, you know, doing the black shit that we do, wedding, cookout, family reunion,
right?
And Step in the Name of Love comes on. Is that what happens? Is that supposed to be like, take that off?
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, I feel like these kind of lines are really kind of personal. So I feel like it depends on the event. My thing with Step in the Name of Love is that it starts by saying it's the Pied Piper. And I have so much issue. Even when he started calling himself the Pied Piper, I was like, do y'all not hear this shit? Like, do y'all not hear this? Because he started after the trial. During the trial. I'm like, do y'all not hear this nigga calling himself the Pied Piper, you know? So it's like,
literally use music to lure children into the woods and then ate them,
right? But I also recognize like there are some people who are just never gonna give it up, like the Isley's Friends and Family song. It's very Step in the Name of Love because R wrote it, R produced it. Yeah. I like it though. Like, I'm not going
to lie. It's a good record. Are we supposed to never listen to Fortunate Again by Maxwell?
That's what I'm saying. So that's to that record
again? But that's going to go down the list. Like, we're just going
to. But that's the thing that people have to. I understand not supporting him anymore, right? I get that. Me personally, like I said, I can't listen to the songs anymore because too many of them. My favorite R. Kelly songs, I now can't listen to. Like, my favorite R. Kelly songs were, like, Seems Like You're Ready, the Bump and Grind remix, Keep It on a Download. All of those songs made me think of his actual crimes and transgressions.
So what about the other records? Like, You Saved Me.
But yo, The World's Greatest literally got me together a couple of times and I was scared as fuck overseas.
This is what I'm saying. This guy was literally, like, dude, I remember... again, we'll remain nameless, but I took a young lady to see Robert at a concert and he did You Saved Me at the end, and her mom had passed not long before that. And old girl was bawling because that record touched her so much. I remember another girl, again, will remain nameless, who I was dating, and her cousin is always a girl. Life is women. My life has been women. I've learned that,
how yes, to move. We stand. But anyway, you better work like Gabby.
Absolutely. And so another woman the day, whatever, and her cousin passed away, and then she like begged me to send her I Wish, because they played that at the service. You know, I remember going to the Soul Train Awards and Robin performed You Save Me for the first time.
Yeah.
The whole arena was crying. Because they never heard the song before. It was he broke the song at the show. And the whole arena was like, by the second verse, it was church. It was actual church. Everybody standing up, people testifying, people getting happy. People's faces are wet like somebody splashed them with a hose. I'm just saying, level of talent and emotion is a special thing. Like you said,
everybody has been
saved your life.
I ain't saying he saved my life.
No, but you know what I'm saying. He helps you get through. Not him.
Yeah. His voice, though, his actual voice creeps me out at this point. No, his voice creeps me out at this point. I can't enjoy it the same way. Like, as soon as because Rob's voice is so distinctive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I've heard this nigga say so much bullshit now. I really can't. His actual voice creeps me out now. And I hate it because I do, like, he made jams and bops, and I never really went like the R. Kelly anthemic joints. I feel the same way I felt about like Mike's anthemic joints. Like, I once mentioned that I never on my own select and play Man in the Mirror, but if I'm out somewhere and that shit comes on, I'm performing the fuck out of that song in the middle
now,
of the
now. Why is Mike different?
So Mike is different to me because Mike's music is not about him diddling little boys, right? Because I fully believe Mike did that shit. But or did some form of something that was
inappropriate.
Inappropriate. And did it with calculation and intent and planning and foresight, right? And did it for like a decade. I 100% believe that. But for me, Mike is different for me. Like, others may feel differently. Mike is different for me because I think the art versus artist thing is a slippery slope. Like, for one, Mike is dead. So me not buying his music, me not playing his music does what? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not like he's still getting checks off that
shit. Yeah, but nobody stopped playing his music when he was alive. God bless him.
Right. But I mean, but by the time we weren't having the same level of, you know, holding artists accountable for personal behavior. Yeah.
This discourse did not exist. Now.
Yeah, this didn't exist 12 years ago, right? We weren't here yet. So, and that's what I try to explain to people about R. Kelly. Like, but what I will say about R. Kelly that's interesting is that most people I know stopped rocking with him after Chocolate Factory. Like, it was done. Like, maybe then Best of Both Worlds, and that was it, right? Because that tape was on the street. Like, that shit was in the barbershop. That shit was like, it was like a mixtape.
I'm going to agree and disagree. That tape was definitely on the street. It definitely was on the street. But I remember a lot of people at that point were defending Robert.
Most people I know was
it was like, she's a fast-ass little girl. She knew what she was doing. I was hearing more of that than shitting on Robert at that point.
Lying and saying she was older than
all that than type of shit.
Was hearing this because once I saw the tape, I was like, this girl looks all of 13. Like, she looked like a child. And
yeah, you could tell by how she was dancing too.
Yeah, and like, you know, the joints would still come on in the club, and you know, like the movie body like a snake, mine, all that shit. And but Chocolate, I know for me, Chocolate Factory was last album I got. By the time he got Trapped in the Closet, we were kind of clowning him a little bit, you know? So
that's, Trapped in the Closet was huge, though. That was huge.
But people I knew were not fucking with it.
Okay, but I mean, no, but Happy People, You Saved Me, all these records came after Chocolate Factory, said Best of Both Worlds. Like, he put out, he was still popping. For quite a while.
I'm saying people I know.
Okay.
My peers were done after Chocolate Factory. People I knew in the industry were also kind of done after Chocolate Factory. Like, all right, whatever.
Nah, niggas were still calling. I could tell you, niggas were still calling me for tickets. Niggas still were calling me for CDs. Niggas were still calling me for features. Yes.
Like, I definitely went to the Best of Both Worlds tour. I was at, as I'm sure you were, Jeff, I was at the show.
Yeah, I was at the show when it went crazy.
When he left the tour. Mm-hmm. Which I'm thankful to this day I was there, because that was a moment. Like, that shit was
It's hard to describe if you wasn't there.
So hard to describe. But anyway, I say all that to say that both fans and the business have to have a real conversation now, right? Because we have artists who are in the game right now who are still doing mad, who are violating massively right now still.
Yeah.
And now there's going to have to be a conversation about, like, is this a precedent? What? Because, you know, the music industry has had the luxury of being like, we're not really getting involved in cat. Because some, first of all, social norms are expected, artists are expected to throw social norms out the window anyway. So that's one. Secondly, like, there's almost expected to be some form of deviance, bad behavior, especially among the men. And it's always kind of been the stance that, like, we're not getting involved in the personal shit unless the personal shit helps promote whatever the project is. But I feel like now, I don't know if labels, partners, et cetera, are going to have the luxury of doing that. Do I feel like all artist catalogs have to disappear from the face of the earth? No, I don't believe in trying to manipulate history like that, right? But I think there's going to have to be a conversation about, like, what the ethical responsibility is. Like, the Black journalism community had it after Surviving R. Kelly. There was a conversation about, like, how reporting on R was very, even when they were reporting on shit that was Raw, he still was on the cover. He still interviewed.
I don't foresee that happening. And the black, white artists don't matter. I don't foresee that happening unless some shit like gets so out of hand like Roberts did that you can't avoid it. If it can be avoided and the artist is still selling and being profitable, they will avoid it and let the artist still be profitable.
But now, do you think consumers are going to continue
to
let that rock?
Yes. I think niggas will keep buying records if the shit is hot because this is just what people do. So let's move on. I want to talk about, just want to mention Ashanti real quick. It came out, I think she was an interview with Tamron Hall yesterday or day before.
That she bought her
masters back.
Did she buy them or did they revert?
I'm not sure. I think they reverted back to her. And she said she was going to re-record them and re-release them.
So that's what I don't understand. Wait.
Okay, so I'm explaining that.
Because if you have the masters,
I'm going to explain
it. Why are you re-recording them?
I'm going to explain it.
All right.
So the reason why she's doing this, I'm, again, these are assumptions. I don't know Ashanti, although she's a Libra season. I haven't talked to her.
All Libras are fucking insufferable.
Oh, come on, chill.
Literally.
what I am assuming. So Taylor Swift, a while ago, said that she was re-recording some of her records.
She didn't have her masters.
Let me finish.
Oh, then Joe.
Yes. Re-recording their masters and re-releasing them because there's a law on the books that she discovered somehow that if you re-record them and release them, they become new product. You don't have to pay.
Okay. Well, that's actually in your contracts. There's usually in artist contracts, it says that you agree not to re-record them for a set amount of time. Like there's so many years that you can't.
Yeah, and that's the time at pet. I just think
artists have never tried to undertake the magnitude of like, let me
because it's a headache. It's a headache.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you said Taylor Swift has done this, JoJo has done this, Cameron's talking about he's going to do it too. This is why Ashanti's doing it. It's been public that her and Irv don't get along. There's been a lot of friction and a lot of back and forth between them, and she doesn't really get along with any of the murdering people at all, except for I think Ja Rule at this point. What I think Ashanti is doing is re-recording and re-releasing because if she records and re-releases, that cuts Murder Inc. out.
Right.
She won't have to split the publishing or anything, or do Murder Inc. will also have the overall royalties of her project anymore. It'll be
because she says she's going to release it on her own label.
Exactly, Ashanti Records. So, don't forget, she wrote all these records, so she has a huge share of the publishing anyway. She cuts Irv out, and she's probably going to do I'm just assuming she's going to hire producers and writers as work for hire.
Right,
so they'll get publishing on the records.
Her shit is sample heavy. That's what.
Yes. The sample
be a huge out of pocket expense.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure because I've listened to those records for quite a long time. I don't know if Irv replayed those or he actually used the actual samples.
Used that DeBar. If he didn't use the actual DeBar sample, he used the One More Chance sample. He used one of those.
So if Ashanti does replays. Now she's not having to pay the same amount of publishing directly because she's not using the master. Exactly. Right. So in other words, if she does this the way I think she's going to do it, she'll end up with a bigger piece of the pie when these records re-release.
Sounds like a lot of upfront expense.
It's a lot. Yeah, I guess she might have investors that are willing to put this up. Yeah, it's expensive now. Don't get it fucked up. Like there's not a lot of artists won't be able to do this. Like, Taylor Swift can because she's got probably $200 million, but like there's not a lot of people who can, but I'm assuming that's why she's doing it. So we'll see what happens. Peace to Ashanti for getting your masters back.
Congratulations.
Congratulations and blah blah blah. I want to mention the Wonder Years. I didn't see last night's episode.
I haven't watched it, but people like it a lot.
It's great. The pilot was great. The season's not started. The pilot was great. So it's obviously Wonder Years is a series that came on in the 90s.
Late 80s, early 90s?
Was it that long ago?
You might have been late 80s. Yeah.
Could be, yeah. About a nuclear family, three kids, two parents, three kids who lived in somewhere in California.
It was a coming of age. And what do we call it, like a slice of Americana
yeah,
type joint. Yeah.
It was based in the 60s. So it was during like the Vietnam War and all that type of stuff. And it was about the changing of America, like the changing of the culture. And, you know, and, you know, how the main kid was this kid named Kevin. He was the youngest son, and how he was kind of like the observer and watching everything happening, and things were happening with his sister and his older brother and his parents and blah, blah, blah. And Wendy Years was, they did great writing. First, it was great because it was narration as well. Kevin is now supposed to be an adult, and he's narrating his life as a child. And then it was also dope because they would be funny, but then they would go deep on you. Like,
yeah, it wasn't really a sitcom.
Like, no, it wasn't a sitcom.
But it wasn't. It was like, wasn't really a sitcom. It wasn't really a drama.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was a dramedy.
Yeah, dramedy.
Yeah, it is somewhere in there.
Or dark comedy, kind of.
I just always, because somebody was asking me that, who I think maybe didn't remember the first one, because they were like, I didn't really find anything funny. And I was like, it's not a sitcom, though. I was like, but it's not so heavy that I would call it a drama. It's like, I don't know if slice of life is a genre, but it's just not. It just
well, ABC, is. ABC, ABC kind of coined this, whatever you want to call this genre of television back then, because they had the Wonder Years. They had, what was the 30-something?
30-something,
my shit. Yeah, and they had My So-Called Life. So yeah. It was kind of like this kind of
like a realism slice of
life.
Yeah,
kind of. Yeah, that's.
I just need to take a moment for Jordan Catalano, one of my first TV crushes.
I know.
I just had to. He was dreamy.
And you know what's wild about that show was only on, I think, two seasons.
Like 2 seasons. Yeah,
it was like a blurb, but it was a huge part of my culture. Yeah, I was out there.
Yeah, they locked into the whole kind of grunge era. Like it was fly.
That kind of teenage apathy, but like a little bit of fashion.
Yeah, definitely fashion. They had a main character who was gay, and it wasn't like he wasn't like. Oscar side.
It was very ahead of its time.
Yeah, very ahead of its time. Started Jared Leto and Claire Danes. But anyway, so this version of My So-Called Life is done in a very Wonder Years is done in a very similar way, where it's Don Cheadle is the narrator, so he's Kevin as an adult. We never see him, but we hear him, and he's walking through like. His remembering his life, but what they did smartly is they just didn't take it and make it black. In other words, the characters aren't even on the same
reboot,
name.
Not a reboot. Yeah.
Yeah, the characters aren't even on the same name.
I told you that because then they even moved the time up a little bit. They moved.
No, it starts in 68.
Oh, it still starts in 68.
But the characters aren't. Kevin is still Kevin, but the other characters are not the same name. Right. His older brother is on the original was home, his older brother in this show. First of all, changed the order too. So he had an older sister who was the oldest in the original, then his brother, then him. In this one, he has an older brother who's the oldest, then a sister who's home, and then him. His older brother in this one is in Vietnam.
Oh, wow.
He's not even there. So his father's a musician. So it's they flipped it very different, but it's the same thing where it's like, it's some humorous shit, you know, it's like the coming of age thing and he likes this girl and blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to give away spoilers, so some people might have watched it, but there's a couple of twists at the end of the pilot that are like, oh shit, word? Like it's kind of ill. Done, very well written. You saw Inka, right?
Yeah, I love the casting. Like the mom and the daughter look so good.
They look alike. They look and alike. I
love this kid. Yeah, he has that magic that, is it Ben Savage?
Fred Savage.
That the original kid that Fred Savage played had.
Fred's executive producer on the show.
I know. Lee Daniels was involved too.
I love it. I think Lee Daniels is just a producer. I think he's, and Lee, I don't know if I said this on the show. Lee actually kind of got me, which I had to tip my hat for, because I was saying when the trailer first dropped, I was like, I was so excited. I tweeted something like, I was so excited. And then I saw Lee's name and I just sighed. And Lee he quote retweeted me. He said, yeah, sometimes I do that too. And I was like, you know what?
Interestingly, Lee did a lot of the press leading up, not Fred, which I was surprised at. I thought Fred Savage would do it, but Lee did it. But anyway,
you know what? Maybe it's because it's like this is a black one, let the black people.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Let the black people have their space. And I mean, we all know who the fuck Fred is.
Yeah, yeah. Fred's been in the hood.
Because Don did the press too. So I think it was more like, let
the black folks leave.
Let the black folks have it. And similarly, I need to watch Our Kind of People on Fox.
Yeah, I want to see that too.
Which I also
saw the first episode.
How was it?
A lot happened. I'll say it's very fast.
Is it a half hour or an hour?
It's an hour. It's definitely a true drama.
It can't be anything but a drama.
Okay.
It is.
They have the right cast. Here's what I'll say.
I'm reserving my opinion for more episodes. I'm going to stick with it for a couple of episodes and see. Because the first episode was very foundational. It was like, you know, our mom was from here, and this is why she left me this to build a legacy for us.
Yes, it's based in Martha's Vineyard, correct?
Yeah. For those who don't know, listeners, Our Kind of People is the adaptation, and it's a very loose adaptation. There's a book that came out in the 90s called Our Kind of People. And it is, it's a historical account. It's not a novel. It's not fiction. But it's a historical account of like the upper class of black people coming during segregation and coming out of segregation. So like the bougie black folks who would be in Philly society and New York society.
And the Jack and Jills and the fraternities
and sororities and Talented 10th and all of that other stuff, right? So this adaptation just off rip couldn't be anything but like based on this idea of like a class tier system with black folks, hence it being a Martha's Vineyard, which is super, super, super bougie black. And so when I heard about it, I was first like, I don't know if this is the time for all of that when we got a whole bunch of black people on some Eat the Rich shit. But secondly, when I heard that Lee was involved, I was like, this is going to be Empire, but on Martha's Vineyard. But like with Wonder Years, apparently he's not as creatively involved. Like the actual show was created by a black woman. Name escapes.
But you can feel him on this.
You can feel Lee on
it?
You
can't feel him on
feel him on Wonder Years at all.
No. So check it out. Tell me.
I'm gonna check it out.
It's solid. It's Joe Morton. It's Debbie Reynolds, who I love. It's Morris Chestnut. Mm-hmm. You know, they have good people. So I'm gonna watch it, but I think I need to give it, I'm gonna let like 3-4 episodes stack up and then binge it and jump into it.
DaCosta does a really good job in it.
Right.
Like she's
in it too? Okay.
Yeah, she's the main character.
I think she's the daughter. So it's a story of like there's a family member who I guess was darker of a lesser class, but who was kind of like outcast from everybody else or something like that. And I think this is like her daughter coming home or some shit. I don't know.
Okay.
It's something
I'm gonna check it out. Something else coming on that I know is gonna be controversial. I just wanted to mention it. I don't even want to get into it. There's a show coming on Netflix called Passing. Starring what's her name?
Tessa Thompson.
Yes, about so two sisters.
Is an adaptation of a novel from Larson. What's her first name? It starts with N. I'll tell you in a minute. But it's not new. The novel it has to be like 30 years old.
Well, and it's set. It looks like it's set in like the '30s or the '40s.
In Harlem, and it's about two friends from the same hometown. Both of them move to New York. One of them passes as white and is married to a white man and lives in Midtown. And one is black and lives
uptown. So that's going to be very interesting because I don't know how much this kind of newer generations know about Passing.
They don't, which is why we need this movie. They think that Passing means that you are light enough that you could be mistaken as white. They don't understand that they've been conflating, like the terms white passing and white presenting have been getting conflated more and more. And I actually got into a whole thing about this on Timeline one day, and I had people arguing with me this semantics. And I'm like, it's not. If you are a black person, if you are a black American, the word passing as an active verb has entirely too much history for you to just decide that we're going to interchange it with something passive, like presenting. Like, it means that you literally built a whole life to hide your race.
The fact that you was Black.
You make a choice. Yeah.
You make a choice. Like, presenting means somebody looks at you and maybe you don't...
Maybe they think, exactly. Right? I mean, there's several areas, but I know down in Louisiana, there's a ton of people who you would, Baltimore, like a lot of them, you would like, oh yeah, they definitely white. And then they start talking, you're like, hold on, what the fuck? Like, you know, so there's a whole kind of thing.
There's a whole segment of my family to Pasablanc in Louisiana. So it's like, so I'm happy that the movie's being made because, you know, these kids out here, they watch.
They have no idea.
They're not watching Imitation of Life and shit. Nah, you know what I'm saying? So they need a reference. They need that.
It's going to be very interesting to see the reaction to it. But I want to obviously we'll save it for when it happens. But sidebar, I think I mentioned on a show, and I saw a documentary on YouTube about a family. This is recently.
Nella Larson, that's the author's name.
This woman who was from the South, I can't remember, I believe it was Louisiana, who went to Iowa. She was, you know, white passing, air quotes. And she moved to Iowa. And it was a whole thing where, like, her family did not know they were Black. Right. Like, her kids, she never told anybody. And it was, but then she would sneak back to the family reunions by herself. Right. And like, it's a very interesting documentary.
I am realizing I've been on Ancestry. So my paternal grandfather, which is the Louisiana side of my family, passed a few weeks ago. And we were realizing that we don't know a lot about his side of the family. I don't know if I talked about it on the show. Like, I have a whole set of cousins, his sister's kids, who live in Montclair. They did not have a relationship with my dad and his sister.
But you just met them, right?
Yeah, I just met them. So we've been tracing that side of the family about Ancestry, and I've hit, like, Ancestry will tell you when somebody else has a family tree that has the same person that you're looking at in it. And I've bumped up against a couple of white family trees already. So I'm like,
yeah, I mean, that shit is real. So I'm very interested to see that. I also wanted to mention real quick, it came out today that the NBA is going to start really soon, like in a couple of weeks. And there's a huge issue with vaccines and vaccinating. So what the issue is, a lot of players, some players and star players, Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, some star players still have not been vaccinated, are saying they're not going to get vaccinated. So the NBA came out back then, it was last week, with a rule that, okay, if you're not vaccinated, you cannot play in the cities that have a vaccine law. So that's New York, San Francisco. There's a third, and I'm totally blanking on, I apologize. But you cannot
play.
No, it wasn't LA. It was New York, Frisco, and another city. And they said, well, you can't play in these games at all. Oh, Philly. Might have been Philly. If you can't play in the games. So that fucks up a lot of stuff because you especially for Kyrie, because he plays in Brooklyn. So 41 games, he can't play. Right. It's like, nigga, like, we can't pay you hundreds of millions of dollars and you're playing half a season? You're ridiculous. Right. So there's been all this controversy, blah, blah, blah. So the NBA hit harder today. And they said, not only can you not play in those games, but now you will not be paid for those games.
Up that ante. I'm with it. I'm 100%.
Up the ante, 100%. So now it's like, nigga, you thought you was going to just chill out, sit on the bench in the suit. Nah, nigga, you left $900,000 on the table for this game alone. And 41 more.
I'm 100% with this because, you know, people are, of course, being like, it's a slippery slope. No, it's not. The reason that it feels like it is because you have already been vaccinated for at least six things, right?
At least.
In your lifetime. And usually there are already health and safety mandates in place when you come into a situation. This feels different because it's new. And it's
new.
Us new, we haven't been through this, right?
And because of social media, everybody thinks they're old in opinion, right? And they're a fucking expert.
Exactly. This is not a government conspiracy. And also, somebody was like, but you don't think that, like, telling somebody that they're fired if they don't get vaccinated is going too far? I said no, because we're talking about you having to interact with other people. It's not
if you're a fucking doctor or a nurse, what are you, or a teacher, what are you talking about?
But even being a player or being a regular, like, even having vaccine mandates for regular ass jobs, like, people who are going back to Sony have to be vaccinated if they want to come back into the building.
Period.
You know why? Them motherfuckers have an open floor plan, right? Like, so
and there's other people in other companies in that building too,
right?
And so you need an elevator, you know.
The other players deserve to feel like there is reasonable accommodation for their safety, and that's really what it is. It's always supposed to be about the most vulnerable. So people making this still about that, well, I don't want to do it. It's like you play a team sport, right, my nigga? Like, you are supposed to understand above
you're not playing tennis across the net. Exactly.
Yeah, I just feel like at this point, people being stubborn, it's kind of like with the R. Kelly thing. This point, if you being stubborn about it and you trying to act like there's really an argument here, you just being contrary for the sake of being contrary or some other shit.
You goofy.
Yeah, like it's goofy. Like, I don't understand. Like, New York City teachers, there were some teachers striking in New York, and I'm like, you have to be vaccinated to even be in the public school system. What are you talking about?
All these doctors and not really the doctors.
And healthcare workers, like
the healthcare workers and the nurses. They're like, I can't believe I'm like,
you're
pardon my French, bitch. You're around people who are very sick like, every day. What do you mean you're not vaccinated?
You should be vaccinated against an infectious fucking virus? What do you? I'm sorry, what? Like, you had to do that just to get your job. People are losing
That's their- my issue with people in the military. It's like, you walk down a hallway with phlebotomists on either side giving you vaccine in 5 minutes. Like, you took 7 in about 5 minutes to get in the Army.
So what is this?
Is the one that you're like upset
This is the one you're like, nah, be chill. So we're going to see the flip real quick. When they lose that much money.
Especially during the Great Resignation, because all the people that are over talented and underpaid in service industry jobs are going to come for your jobs because you're an idiot.
Quickly. And I think that's what they know. They're like, you can leave, your job will be filled in 5 minutes, bro.
5 minutes.
and love is love. So
I just want to interject for a second. So I just got a I have to because this is hilarious. I got a Ring doorbell recently. I just installed it last night, right? So what I didn't know is that Ring also sends you alerts to let you know that shit is going on in the neighborhood.
Oh, like a citizens kind of thing.
Yeah, so I got an alert earlier that somebody was shot like on whatever street in the Bronx, But I just got an alert that says, woman going to apartments, turning the knob to see if the door is open. I'm like, that's what Ringer sent me. It doesn't say where. It doesn't say exactly what neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I just like,
lock your door.
Area. Don't come up in here with that bullshit.
All right.
push that knob if you want to.
Thanks for the warning.
Thanks for the warning.
That's crazy.
Real quick, I want to say peace to Reggie Bush. He's got a... Wendy's. He's in Wendy's series of commercials now. I'm just happy for this dude because he got fucked off so heavily by the NCAA.
Yeah.
Well, he's been doing television. He does pro and college football. Like, you know.
And there's a video of her testing the doors. This is amazing.
Yeah. So Citizen always has the videos too. So I just want to say peace to Red. I mean, he's been doing fine. It's not like he's been broke or anything. He's great. But, like, I just love that now he's getting, like, commercials. He's getting endorsements. First of all, he's a great-looking guy. He's well-spoken. And they just fucked him off so badly with the NCAA bullshit. Took his Heisman Trophy and everything. So I'm just happy that he's getting his. I just want to say peace to Reggie Bush. I wanted to mention the artist Miguel and his girlfriend. Is it Nazanin?
Nazanin.
Okay, sorry. Nazanin Nandi, who split up after 3 years of marriage and 17 years in total together.
17 years together.
So I want to know for you two ladies, did she waste her time? Because 14 years is a long time to just be boyfriend and girlfriend. Again, I don't know anything about this situation.
Waste of time is completely subjective. That's what I want to say first, because what I did say when I heard about the breakup is that I believe that for some people there really is something to the idea that if you've been together for a very long time and it works, making it official can change the dynamic. I think it, and like Goldie and Kurt and Oprah and Stedman, you know, kind of have, it's not for everybody, right? But there is this thing, like you said, the wasting time, or like people used to say that Cassie wasted her time with Puff, which I don't think Cassie did at fucking all. Like, she's like, she has a beautiful family and two kids and a husband right now, but she spent her 20s kicking it globally. But I think that the concept that if you've been with somebody and for a significant amount of time and you either didn't get married or your marriage was short-lived, that you wasted your time, presumes it makes a really big presumption about what that person wanted. So they still had a partnership, they still built a life together. They were together for their formative years, she was together for his rise, you know. So I think that, you know, and we don't know yet what caused the split. So no, I don't think that was time wasted at all. They clearly had a good relationship, and sometimes they run their course, you know. Okay. So yeah, no, I don't think, like, because, you know, every relationship ain't gonna be till you die. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the idea.
Yeah, and that, every relationship that doesn't end in a lifelong marriage is not unsuccessful either.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm sure that they were each other's formative relationship. So I'm sure that she took a lot away from that, right? And yeah. and anytime you're with somebody for that many years, that's not, like, it's different if you could be like, yo, I was with this nigga for 9 months and nothing came up, but that's wasted time. 17 years with somebody is a life. That's not wasted time. That's a significant amount of time. Marriage, okay. Not. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. I wanted to mention Jennifer. Oh, I think it's Ho. I think that's how you pronounce her name. Is it Huff?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My
apologies. H-O-U-G-H?
Yeah.
That lady? Okay. Jennifer Huff.
Yes, yes. Who is the victim of, I'm not going to say accused, it's alleged rather, she is the victim of rape from Ken Petty, who is Nicki Minaj's husband. And she did a interview last week on The Real, her first interview, and I don't know, might be only, because she hasn't done anything since. She doesn't seem like a media-hungry person. She seems just like... you know, for whatever reason, she picked The Real to do this interview, but it ain't like she's gone on an interview, a media run, and done like The Real and The Breakfast Club and blah, 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 blah. That we haven't seen her.
She
or
just
her
told that story. One outlet.
Told her that one outlet, this, her story, and she's low. So she talked on it. I watched the interview. Very emotional interview.
Yeah, her demeanor and everything was so fragile. Even.
Fragile. No. She's re-traumatized. She's trying to disappear in front of you. Like, she's like trying to just shrivel up. There was not one word or anything that I thought was a lie or a fabrication. Nope. I feel like she was 100% truthful.
Or even an exaggeration.
Oh, no, even nothing. Yeah, like she's told her story. And that story is awful.
I ain't even watched the whole thing and I believe all of it. Y'all could tell me, Jennifer Hughes said, at this point, there is very little you can tell me in any form of distastefulness and inappropriateness about anything that is involving the Petties that I would not believe to be
true. Yeah.
Because homegirl has proven herself to stoop to low, to enormous lows for her own benefit.
Absolutely. And she talked about...
And to protect the abusers that are adjacent to her.
Yes.
Her husband, her brother. You know, Jennifer talked about, you know, growing up in the neighborhood with Kenneth, who, you know, seemed like even at 16 was already a known maniac. Like people knew, like, he was a nut job in the neighborhood. And she was at a bus stop by herself. He jumps out of a car with a knife, forces her into the car, takes her to some spot and rapes her. And she said, like, after he raped her, he was, like, pumped up. He was like, yeah, I'm the man. She said he was, like, pumped, like, hitting his chest. And, like, I'm the man. And she's sitting there like... Jesus. She's raped, and he's
that,
like,
knife point.
Yeah, knife point, and he's geeked up about, like, there was, the story was horrific. I mean, it's on YouTube, so you can watch
it. But the thing that she was really there to discuss was the fact that she has filed suit because, again, he's done time for this already.
Yes,
this,
yeah.
This is
yeah.
something. But she filed suit against them in the spring because...
Last spring.
Because they've been harassing her because from mm-hmm. the time that he came home, I think we might have talked about this on here, but it might have just been the group chat. Ken Petty has recently been charged for failing to file as a sex offender,
mm-hmm.
which he has to do because even though he was, because I will say it's a little erroneous to call him a pedophile because they were the same age, but yeah. still. Because it was sexual assault against a minor,
mm-hmm.
he is charged as an offender, and he failed to register as a sex offender, which apparently he started the process and then stopped. Nikki was either advised or was under the impression that, regardless of the fact that he had actually been convicted of and done time for this crime, that if Jennifer recanted her story,
then he would
somehow not have to register. I don't know how she thought that was going to work when the man has literally been convicted of time for the attempted rape of a minor, or for the rape of a minor. But so she starts harassing this woman.
Yeah.
Threatening
her. Sending her
to the house.
Yeah, trying to bribe her with money, trying to get her to sign a pre-written statement that somebody wrote on their side saying that I recant our charges and blah, 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 blah. She offered the girl $20,000 through a third party. Jennifer's never accepted 10 cents from any of them.
Nope. And then the fans get at her. Yeah,
the barbs.
And we all know that the barbs can be ruthless, relentless, and ignorant and mean and vile. So imagine that as a teenager, right, you are violently attacked. This person goes away. They do time. They come home. You've moved away, right? You've moved away. You have a life together. And now him and his wife and their representatives and her fans are just totally like invading your life.
Yeah, but you're leaving out a layer to, you're right what you're saying, mm-hmm. but you're actually leaving out a layer to the story because she moved away because, again, he also had a murder charge that pleaded down to manslaughter that he did time for. So, like, he's one of them niggas. So she moved away
to get away out of
fear because she's like, yo, when this dude comes home, he might either rape me again or kill me. So before he got with Nikki, she was on the run from him because of him and the ties he has to the streets.
Also, she had family. She even had his people were trying to pressure her at the time to drop the charges.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, so even pre-Nikki, it was fucked up.
They had been telling people in the neighborhood that, oh, they were in a relationship, they were dating, and she's like, no, none of that's true.
Yeah. She said she just knew him from the neighborhood, but she said they had no relationship at all. Yeah.
So she moved away. She's done all of that. She's, you know, got a life together. And so, like, now 20-something years later, like, she's
being
put through all of this. All over again, like, of course she's re-traumatized. Of course she's scarred.
She talked about Nikki called her directly.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm believing is Jennifer has, like, you know, screenshots and texts and voicemails that's proving this, which is why this case is the Petties are so pressed because I think they realize how much evidence she has. But she said Nikki called her directly and was on some like, yo, drop the charges, blah blah blah. And she said she told Nikki, yo, woman to woman, like, this shit happened. Like, I'm like,
nigga went to jail. What are you talking about?
Like, what are you talking about? We dropped the charges. This nigga raped me. Like, I don't understand how you as a woman,
like, you can't recant something. I mean, you can, but he's been convicted and served his time already. What? I don't know what Nikki thought.
Well, I can tell you, assumption, but I'm going to tell you what Nikki's thinking. Nikki, I read Nikki made him her manager now. Right. And what I'm thinking is Nikki is trying to get these charges dropped because if you're I've dealt with an artist, I won't name him, who had sexual charges and had to check in everywhere and go through, you know, every time we went to a different place, he had to go check his name in with the city, and it's a process to do. And if you don't do that, first of all, it's a serious charge. You get locked up. And with Petty's charges, he also can't be around minors.
He can't be within a certain amount of
100 yards, like, I think, of a minor. So technically, I don't know how this works. Technically, he kind of can't even be around his child.
Right.
And he doesn't have me. So what I think Nikki
and he can't travel. Like
that's what I'm saying. Right. That's what I'm saying. Nikki's pressed because he can't go anywhere. So if she starts to tour again and goes to Chicago, goes to New York, goes to Miami, that nigga can't come. He can't.
But what I'm saying, Jeff, is like that's a legal process. Jennifer recanting.
No, but I think Nikki thinks that if she recants that everything drops and he could travel.
I know, but but what I'm saying is I don't know either. What I was trying to say is I don't know
why she got that.
Why she's thinking that or who's advising her.
Some legally, lawyer.
Because that's not how the fuck it works.
I know.
YouTube, the same place she gets her vaccine information.
Jennifer showing up and saying he ain't do such and such and such is not going to change.
Don't matter.
Shit, you've been convicted already, like a long time ago.
Awful.
Like,
it's awful.
That's not what she can't. She's not going to write a note saying, "Dear sir and ma'am, please allow him to not register as a fucking sex offender." That's not, no, that's there's some whole other, like, she needs to be talking to the DA or something. Like, there's some whole other shit that she got to do.
So this is ugly and getting uglier. It looks like, I mean,
well, she's been quiet for a minute.
She better be.
Finally.
And you know, she ran on this shit about COVID and I'm not coming out the house. But she shows up at a Little Durk show last week. I'm like,
he fucking created an international incident last week.
Yeah, yeah. But it looks like, I mean, Petty might have to go back to jail, like for what he's doing, and do some serious time. I don't think Nikki will go to jail because she's not, you know, to be a first offense for her, but she might get a fine or something. But her husband might be gone for as much as 10 years. So this is a mess.
Is Nikki also facing harassment?
I think Nikki,
harassment is usually a misdemeanor.
I think Nikki will get a fine or something like that. But he's, you know, him is
not pressing charges for the harassment. She's suing them for the harassment, but he's facing time for the failure to register.
Register.
And he's already violated once by going to a school with Nikki, which was insane. Like,
just reckless. So we'll keep
pickups of his own kid. Like, it's gonna be a mess. But my thing is, ma'am, you knowingly married, not just a felon, but you knowingly married someone who's convicted of a sex crime and who was gonna be a felon. Because I have to imagine he's on papers. Like, I can't
and
imagine
murder. Oh, he's on papers and murder. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. For murder, gotta be on papers for the murder, right? So I'm like, what did you? How? And then you made him your marriage.
How do you think this is gonna work?
How did you think this was going to work?
I think some lawyer took a bunch of money from her and advised her that it was doable, and it's not. That's what I think. But we'll keep an eye on that. Last story I wanted to mention. I wanted to mention Jelani Day, who was a grad student in Illinois trying to be a doctor. I think it was a Mega Sci-Fi, right? Because I saw some clips of him stepping and stuff like that. Seemed like a good, I mean, I call him a kid, but a good guy, you know, had a family, and he disappeared, and they found his body floating in, I think, a river. I think it was the Illinois River. After several days.
Weird
circumstances. It feels like somebody grabbed him and did something to him. It doesn't feel like, you know, he just tripped and fell in the water one day. They're being very murky, and they're not, the police have been very uncooperative with this whole case. And it's not getting the national attention that I think it deserves. So I'm, you know, prayers for him and his family. I hope somehow it, you know, works out, that they get justice, some kind of way. Also just wanted to mention, peace to Andrea Martin and her family. Passed away 2 days ago. Don't know the causes of why she died.
Who don't know, because Andrea Martin is not as well known.
Not a household name, yeah.
She was songwriter for like Monica's Before You Walk Out My Life.
Tony Braxton's I Love Me Some Him.
Yeah, she did songs for Brandy. She did songs like, and I just realized 2 weeks ago, she did the demo for Robin S's Show Me Love, but it's actually her voice that's on the radio cut of Robin S's Show Me Love.
Oh, so the radio version is her version.
Yep.
I know there's a bit of some confusion because Robin S can actually sing. It's not like
right. That's why I was confused. Yeah. But when I heard Robin's live version, there's a kind of grit missing there that Andrea
had. Did. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she did the demo for like $150 or some shit.
Yeah,
like
something
that.
Crazy. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Because she was just demoing records at that time. So yeah, I was going to say peace to her and her family. She's a great writer. I never met Andrea, but I knew she was. Maybe I met her once or twice in passing, but I didn't know her, but I knew her work, obviously, and I know she's a great talent. So I wanted to, you know, say peace and love to her.
I want to say peace to Mark Lamont Hill, who had like a minor, like an Achilles surgery this week and then suffered a heart attack right after.
Oh, word? He had a heart attack?
Yeah. Oh, he had a mild heart attack.
I saw that he was back in the hospital today. By
DCY. Yeah. He's like, apparently it's really... Yeah, it's really common after this kind of surgery to have some kind of thrombosis, I think. Prayers to him. I hope he fully recovers.
Yeah, I hope he's okay.
Totally quiet until I started talking. I want y'all to know
that. Of course. She's part of the show. So. The last thing I wanted to mention, and this might get a little contentious, Kelly Price. So Kelly Price... got COVID. Well, Kelly Price, well-known writer. People don't talk about the fact she writes a lot too. She's a well-known writer.
Well-known background singer.
Had solo albums as well in the R&B side and the gospel side. She's a church girl, come up through the church.
Yeah, people now also
she's
actor.
From Brooklyn, right? She's from Brooklyn.
She is from Brooklyn. And now you know, she's an actress as well.
Yeah, Kelly does a lot of things. And she does, you know, she's a talented woman. She got COVID.
Also the originator of Booked and Busy, by the way.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
It came from Kelly and R&B Divas, yes.
Okay. So she got COVID back in July. I guess around early July, whatever. She posted on her gram that she was, you know, having a tough time with COVID. You know, she was, you know, really going through it, really sick. And July 29th was her last post on her Instagram about her, about anything. She just didn't post anymore. So her sister, what's her sister's name again with an S?
I think it is Shanae.
Yes, yeah, so her sister started getting antsy and worried because she hadn't heard from Kelly. Allegedly, to this whole story. So Kelly also had a new boyfriend at that time, who we found out later she had married and became her husband. And her sister was also tight about that because she said Kelly got married. She didn't tell nobody in the family. There's been issues amongst their family. They lost their mom. I think they lost a sister of theirs.
They lost their grandmother, too.
Grandmother.
They lost their mother last year. And then it was like, I want to say it was mother, then grandfather, or father, then grandmother.
Yeah. In a very short period of time. And they have a small family as it is. So losing those people was even more devastating than it would be normally. And then Kelly, you know, it seems like there's been some issues with the sisters. I don't quite know what those are. Not my business.
Well, apparently she went
fuck with her.
She went no contact with several members of her family after those funerals, which after I think funerals. Is common. Like, yeah, you know, if you like, don't really fuck with
big
somebody,
mama
and
gone,
then
big mama gone, gave us a reason I don't to have be together. To deal with y'all motherfuckers.
I ain't gotta see y'all no more.
Yeah.
Okay, so... her sister went to the public and said, you know, I haven't heard from my sister.
No, it wasn't just her sister. We don't know for sure. But what happened first was that there was a report, there were reports that Cobb County had a missing persons report for Kelly. And that an anonymous family member said that she had been in the hospital with, you know, recovering from COVID.
From the COVID.
That they had then gotten a call. Nobody ever said call from whom, call where, call. It's very murky. That's I want to emphasize how murky all this shit was, because social media lost their fucking minds. But it was all very murky. That the missing persons report was from an anonymous family member that said that Kelly had been in the hospital, and then they had gotten a call that Kelly had been released from the hospital. They didn't say from whom or what, and that they had not seen Kelly or talked to her specifically. They never said they didn't know where she was, though. Now, I just want to make that clear. They said they had not talked to Kelly. And I want to emphasize that part because Kelly just received her first negative COVID test last week. And this is from July, right? So this is how long she's been battling this. I say that to say it's not outside the realm of possibility that somebody in her life would be saying, no, you can't see her. She's fucking sick. Whatever. She don't want, and also she didn't want to talk to these people. So
especially since it's been revealed that she had long COVID. So it wasn't like she was in the hospital for a week and she's fine now.
Because she had not been out the hospital. She's only been out the hospital for a couple weeks. A few. So this is not like she'd been out the hospital all the time. So that she had the so the police did a wellness check, and what they said was, again, murky. They found no signs of foul play. Mm. I don't know if it was still a case of police didn't actually lay eyes on her or what, right? So this all happened on a Friday. On that same Friday, that Friday night, let's say this was Friday morning. By Friday night, Kelly's attorney made a statement and said that she was also going to be talking to Cobb County PD, that Kelly was safe, that she was still recovering from COVID, that she was under care, and that she was fine, right? So immediately, the sister goes on some podcast, radio show, something, and she's like, well, we still haven't talked to her, and her kids haven't talked to her. And this is another thing that's important. She was like, they're young. Kelly's kids are grown. Her youngest child is 27.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Jr. has children of his own. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's like 30-something, whatever. So the sister, and the same day, and this is where I was like, clearly I know, I see what's going on here. The same day the sister was promoting, like, some music she about to drop or whatever the fuck. So social media gets on its super sleuth shit. And all of a sudden, you know, you got people who know Kelly posting, Kelly call me, Kelly be in touch.
What's her name was doing that shit a lot.
Erica Campbell did it. John P. Key did it.
No, a girl from Brownstone. Nikki Gilbert.
Oh, Nikki did it. Nikki motherfucking went on the air somewhere to talk about how she hadn't talked to Kelly, which then prompted the brat to be like,
ham.
The people who Kelly fucks with have talked to Kelly.
Yeah, like, she don't fuck with you.
Right. So, but some people who know Kelly, and maybe it's not people that the public associate with Kelly, like a Mia X. Like Mia X said, I talked to her. She took a hit. She's still not good. Like, she's not out of the woods, but she's safe, right? A couple of other people said that. But, you know, by this point, Twitter's like, no, we need to hear her voice. And they having Clubhouse rooms and Twitter spaces to talk about
where's Kelly?
And who did what? And the husband and the secret marriage and the husband police record. And this and that. And I mean, here was my thing, right? And Jeff, I know that you and I were on different pages about this, but we had been told, because we know people who know her, that this was a no contact situation. She ain't fucking with them. She don't want to talk to them. She's fine. And I had a couple people tell me that, actually. And I understand that in this day and age, we can never be too cautious of what might be going on in a domestic situation, right, with a shady man, and precautions. Had he been the one that was making a bunch of statements about Kelly's well-being, safety, security, whatever, I might have been like, okay, that's shady. He hasn't said anything.
Now, haven't seen or heard from him.
Yeah.
But, sidebar, interesting. Her, I think her lawyer is Patrick Ewing's ex-wife.
Oh, I had no idea.
Monica Ewing.
Okay, I didn't even put those two things together. Yeah. My thing is, like, once an attorney steps forward and says something to me, especially,
you gotta let it go.
Especially if everybody is reiterating without saying she's still sick. Like, niggas is like, we need to see you holding up newspaper, get on IG Live, get on whatever, whatever. And I'm like, she's clearly still sick. Like, she's clearly still sick. So even when she finally did the TMZ interview on Monday night,
yeah,
you could tell, even with wig, even
she's
with
struggling,
even with lightning, like, you could tell she's tired. She's very, very tired.
I got
and
you.
What she said was, everybody knew, because even I think at one point her daughter said she's fine. Her son was just quiet all weekend. So I think my assumption is what was happening was she felt like her sister was pulling stunts and shenanigans, and she was like, I'm not even going to respond to this shit. Like, I dispatched my lawyer. I'm not going to play into this. But then, probably because it hit on the weekend and niggas ain't have shit better to do,
they just went ham.
You know, they just went ham because people were like, well, why are the police still looking for tips? And I was like, when did you last hear that the police were at? The police have never actually asked for tips. Somebody else was like, call the police with tips. Ain't no, what are you talking about? She's whatever. Yeah. Go ahead, Inca.
We know Twitter is where nuance goes to die. And there is a distinct difference between missing and wanting to be left alone. And she was clearly wanting to be left alone. It was none of our business. She didn't owe us a press conference or an interview.
And then she needs to get
her voice back, her livelihood. Like, come on.
People were mad she was fine. People were actually mad that she was okay. They was like, girl, you've been at home this whole time?
This is my thing, though. This is my thing. And this is all the stuff that kind of came on afterwards. Again, I'm not saying that she owes us anything, but I've been trying again, and I don't know any of the nuances or ins and outs between her and her sister and why they fell out. And I don't know anything. They're still sisters, though, by the bottom line. And when I'm seeing that Kelly had 103 degree temperature when she went to the hospital, when she left the hospital, she's on an oxygen tank. She talked about in the interview, she fucking died on the table.
Yeah.
And she said she woke up and a couple of days later, like she died. Yeah. They woke up basically kind of in a coma for a couple of days, woke up and the doctors are standing around her asking, do you know what year it is? Because they were scared that it was, you know, some permanent brain damage. I'm saying her going through the drastic things that she went through, I would understand why her sister was like, yo, what the fuck is going on? Like, I want to see my sister. Hold on, let me finish. I want to see my sister. Again, I don't know what happened between them, but they're still sisters. There's not many of them left. And her sister has gone through a very, you know, brutal experience with this COVID thing. Still not all the way there. And I think her sister was kind of like, yo, I just want to know what the fuck is going on. And
I think her sister was pulling stunts because
But I think her sister pulled the stunt for a reason because she couldn't get to the... No, let me finish.
Let me finish.
Because she couldn't get any information from the husband.
I know,
she
was but like, not I'm just the husband. But not just stunt. The husband, Jeffrey.
Anybody.
I know, but that's on purpose. That's my point. But see, you just made my point. Let me finish.
You keep cutting me off.
I did.
My point is, if she couldn't get information from anybody, right? I'm not disagreeing with it that she pulled the stunt, but I think she pulled the stunt for a reason. Because again, bottom line is that's still her sister, and her sister. She just wanted to know what was happening with her sister. Now, did she pull a stunt? OD?
If she wasn't already like releasing music around that same day.
Nobody buying her shit. That come on.
I know, but that's the point. But that's the point. So my thing, Jeffrey, is I hear you. Yes, they're still sisters, but at some point. Kelly said that aside from her grandmother's funeral, they hadn't even been in the same room together in over a year. This wasn't new.
This is what I was going to say. Like,
fucking with each other. That shit was
I haven't been speaking to you for 9 months, you're not the first person I'm going to call when I'm in the hospital or sick.
I could be the 100th person, but can I just get a call to make sure you're all right? You're still my sister.
Kelly has said that her kids knew where she was and that she was safe. Like, the people... Now let me finish. Safe meaning she wasn't being held against her will somewhere, right? Which is what was being implied, that she was being held somehow against her will, or that she was delirious, or that whatever. She was in doctor's care. She was safe. She wasn't okay because she's still on the mend. She's still not okay. But she was safe, meaning wherever she was, whomever care she was under, she wasn't fucking kidnapped, drug out the hospital against her will, whatever. That, which is what it was sounding like from the way the sister was talking. So what I'm saying is Kelly clearly it put a boundary in place with her sister, right? So I've been through this, not to the same extreme extent, but not too long before my father died, I didn't speak to my father for like 2 years. And my father was going around to every family member. He was blocked in my phone, everything. My father was going around to every family member trying to get to me. But every family member knew you got to wait until Naima's ready to talk to you. So, but I'm saying that to say, and I'm sure people were telling her, she's home, she's under care. But she wanted to hear Kelly's voice, right? But Kelly didn't want to talk. But Kelly didn't want to talk to her. And I'm sure she knew Kelly didn't want to talk to her. That's my point, Jeffrey.
I understand.
And Kelly didn't want to see her. And she knew Kelly didn't want to see her. Because my thing is that I'm sure that she was being told what was going on. But she was on some, I need to lay eyes on her. I need to talk to her. When she knew her sister.
I'm not sure she was being told what was going on. I think she was being told, I guess she, but then like I said, I don't know what... Sinead,
but there wasn't much more to say. Like, oh, she's
let me finish. I don't know what Sheree knew or not didn't know, but again, in reading the report, you know, the reporting about what happened, again, she went, she stayed at home. This is just through her sick timeline. She stayed at home. She got COVID. She stayed at home for a week. Didn't go to the hospital. So the shit just got completely out of hand. Like damn near deathbed. 103-degree temperature.
But no, that's what they tell you to do.
No, don't disrespect. Kelly's not in the best physical shape, right? Yeah. So pre-existing probably. So they take her to the hospital. She dies on the table, right? And comes back to life. God bless. She goes home and has to come back. She only went home because there wasn't enough beds because of everybody acting crazy. So he went home and she had to come back to the hospital because again she was, you know, in such a bad way. I guess the second, you know, stay helped her get to the point where she could go home, but she goes home with the oxygen. All I'm just saying is, like, if I'm her sibling or family member, even if we ain't fucking each other, if I'm hearing all of that, I'm like, yo, I need to talk to her. Like,
I get that, but if that sibling, whatever happened that made Kelly decide, I'm going no, because no contact is a real thing. And I think this is important to emphasize, because a lot of people are like, that was my sibling, that was my. Here's the thing, blood or not, if I decide I'm not fucking with you, I have the right to say I'm not fucking with you. I don't owe you shit because we're related, especially now that the elders are gone. So whatever's been brewing, whatever is whatever, Kelly clearly made a decision after the grandmother's funeral, like, I do not have to fucking deal with you. Because I ain't never even heard of this sibling. I ain't never heard Kelly reference siblings ever, right? Kids, husband, that's it. Mother, grandma.
Yeah, she seems pretty private about this part of her life anyway. So the fact that she even had to get on and do this, I know a serious boundary had to be crossed for her to cut her sister off like this and not be able to get to her at all.
So my thing is, even if that's your sister, and even if people are saying, listen, I'm telling you what's going on, but you can't, because even if they were good, she still wouldn't have been able to see Kelly. Again, Kelly just got a negative COVID.
She just wanted to hear her voice.
And Kelly want to fucking talk to her. So to me, it is also showing me that this is a person who, I get it, because you can be like, that's my family, that's my whatever. Ultimately, had Kelly wanted to talk to her, Kelly would have fucking talked to her. And Kelly didn't want to talk to her. Because Kelly was clearly talking to some people. She didn't want to talk to her. So my guess, and I promise this ain't help shit. Like, I promise this isn't help. The fact that she got to think about her bed and fucking talk to TMZ. So, like, and it also seemed like, to me, an opportunity for the sister to be in the light for a minute, right? So that, because after the attorney comes out, she took it upon herself to call in and be like, well, I still haven't talked to her, right? Which of course gets the fans and everybody riled up, because she even says, y'all know Kelly is a very public person, which she's not. Kelly is a very public person. She does this, that. Kelly had been said after her grandmother died, after so much loss, she was going to take a step back anyway, right? And what is frustrating me about public response, even though niggas ain't talking about Kelly at all right now, is that Kelly herself said she still has a very long road to go.
Yeah. So
all the prayers y'all have.
COVID tore her up.
Y'all still need to have them prayers. And ain't no vigils for Kelly no more. It's like, oh, now the salaciousness is gone. Nobody fucking cares.
We know niggas with nigga shit.
You know, and that was what was irritating to me. It's like, y'all don't actually care where Kelly Price is. Y'all care about, like, a fucking...
The drama. You want the drama.
Yeah, y'all care about this being an episode of Snapped or some shit, which is, you know, that was my thing.
Like an episode of, you know, a Tyler Perry movie or something. All right. On that note...
All right, one more thing, though.
Oh, please.
I just want to say, I want to get it on record. Fuck Boosie. And everything that he stands for, always and forever. Fuck you if you're defending R. Kelly in any way, shape, or form. And
also, fuck Bill Cosby, just for good measure.
Fuck Bill Cosby, like, in perpetuity. But also, fuck Nevaeh Allen's mom.
Word. And her boyfriend.
And the stepfather for killing.
And she's pregnant now, right?
Yeah,
oh, they take that baby.
She's about to have another baby.
She's going to jail forever. Don't know. They concocted this whole story about this missing 2-year-old that just walked away from the house in the middle of the day or whatever.
Yeah, like toddlers just walk away like that. Here's the thing. This is why I can't get on the abolitionist train, because some niggas Word. Need to go to jail. Like, Robert needs to go to jail.
Some people just cannot be in the same society walking free.
They need to be removed.
I don't like it.
They need to be fully removed from society. There are some people who are irredeemable. They are. They need to be removed from society wholly. There needs to be actual, real, like a real punitive measure taken. Mm-hmm. Like, they don't deserve shit. They don't deserve not any right or privilege. That's
I don't believe in redemption for some people. Like, some shit is just. You just can't come back from. So yeah.
Somebody was saying that about R. Kelly, not to defend him, but I think on just social justice shit, like, I would love to talk about, like, you know, some kind of punishments from him that don't involve y'all. Said ain't none at this point.
Yeah, Rob gone.
Yeah, decades and networks of abuse. Like, get the fuck out of here.
All the bars.
Him and everybody who helped.
Yeah. Last thing I just want to mention, if you haven't watched it, watch What If It Ended, the season ended.
Oh, that's the last episode? Okay.
Yeah, hey, you saw it?
We didn't watch it. We were on a little date last night.
Oh, okay. So, y'all should watch it. The last one is I'm not going to spoil it, but it's kind of wild.
I have one recommendation, which I brought up on the week that it was just me and Inka. If you guys, Only Murders in the Building on Hulu.
That's on my list.
Smart, great. I mean, Steve Martin, Martin Short, Nathan Lane.
It's
so well done. It's so smartly written. The episode they did this week was just like one of the best episodes of TV I've ever seen. And then Jeff, you'll like this one. I'm watching this joint on Hulu called A Wild Crime or A Wild Murder or something, and it's about, they're rolling the episodes out every night. But it's about this guy who takes his wife to a national park and claims she fell. When meanwhile, they went and had, he says they were having like a romantic lunch. He took her way off the trail to a cliff's edge for lunch.
And pushed her ass.
And claimed she fell. Obviously, she pushed her. He pushed her. And apparently, he had like a record of having done this before with his previous wife. So it's just unfolding the bold, like the audacity of this motherfucker's story.
Of course, he's a white man.
Of course he's a white man, but also like a white man who presented himself as having owned this company doing fundraising and consulting for years. And meanwhile, hadn't even had a job since 1994. Like, the life insurance policies on his wife were his.
That was his bread.
Yeah.
Right, I'm gonna watch that. All right. On that note, we're gonna wrap it up. Maybe I'll be back next week. Maybe he won't.
He won't. Who knows? We might not hear Sean again on the pod till like November.
Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Right.
Trailblazing and globetrotting.
Exactly. All right. We'll see y'all next week.
Later.
Bye.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @poplifepodcast.